Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Big show today, big show tomorrow as well. Coming up on today's show, we'll have our high school football roundtable. Zach Showers, the big backyard brawl between Sealands Grove and Shikellamy coming up. Zach Showers will be here for that. Greg Wetzel on Lewisburg. And I don't know, I never got an answer as to who, you know, is now... Who's got the Shikellamy thing? Do we know?
Your friend and mine, the Chief Dave Ritchie.
In the end, you and I both thought that would be the solution.
Oh, yeah.
I mean seriously. Just know it.
You know? Certain games, you got to call the ace out of the pen.
Well, you know, it's more than that. It's just reliability. It's dependability. It's what it is. Now, we got more than that coming up today. Today's going to be a terrific show. Tomorrow, same story. We're going to have Paul Alexander from Pittsburgh on the show tomorrow. Looking forward to talking with him. Cam Meller's on the show today from Pro Football Focus. Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. So we have a lot going on the show today. And once again, the person that's supposed to be on the show representing his team has bagged this again. But don't worry, if they need a Facebook hit, he's there.
Clicks. He counts the clicks. And he's tried for years to be in a click. But that's another story.
Here's the click you don't want.
Right.
Click. Off.
Or a series of clicks like this. Control Alt Delete.
How about the game with the Mets last night? Did you hear about this? The Mets won at Citi Field over the Arizona Diamondbacks 9-0.
Heard Pete did something pretty cool.
Well, yeah, you it was 9/11. He wore the shoes,
yeah,
which was great.
Yeah, cleats for the whole team.
Yeah, except here's the deal: the New York Mets on September 11th, 18 years to the day, had 9 runs on 11 hits. So on the scoreboard, you saw 9-11. How about that? 9-11. 9 runs on 11 hits.
Can't make that stuff up.
No, you can't. It's remarkable. I mean, that really is remarkable stuff. Ah, wow. Okay. The Penn State and Pitt, one quick note on the game. I haven't heard anybody bring this up. It's going to be right in the neighborhood of 110,000 at Beaver Stadium, correct? It's also the first road game Pitt's played this year. Their other two games were at home. Now, obviously, they pipe noise into their facility and the whole deal. But you can't replicate this stadium. You cannot replicate this stadium. Very, very difficult. silent counts, things like that. And it's not just the quarterback, what he has to do. You're talking about the tackles, the wideouts. I mean, they've got to be able to somehow figure out where everything is, what the count is. And this will be the first time this season that Pitt has played a road game. Just thought I'd bring that up. It's a point I might make to the head football coach tonight when we sit down to do the coaches show. All right. I might not bring it up. I will bring it up. Because then he'll start talking about the importance of the crowd. The crowd can boost Penn State, no question. But at the same time, this is also a team that Penn State is facing that is going on the road for the first time in a true road environment for the first time since mid-November. I mean, the bowl game was in a, quote, hostile environment. The ACC championship game sort of was down in Charlotte, sort of. But in terms of going into somebody else's place, and they haven't seen 110,000. In fact, I don't think they've, when they played here, it was 109 plus 2 years ago. It's going to be about 110. It went down a little bit more than 110 on Saturday. I don't think they've ever seen a crowd that large before, ever. You talk about, quote, home field advantage. We talk about home field, home court, home ice advantage. We talk about that all the time. But something in football, when you've got 110,000 people and they're really into it, I mean, no offense, but I've been to Michigan where there's been 111,000. It was like, it's like golf applause on 17 after a par. Okay. As opposed to wild and crazy. Well, here it can be wild and crazy. Ohio State, to its credit, can be wild and crazy. It's loud there. Wisconsin may have 90, but it's wild and crazy. Nebraska may be 90, but it's wild and crazy. I think the one place that Pitt goes where it's like that is Clemson. Not here. This is going to be, I think the crowd's going to has an opportunity to make a huge difference in this game Saturday. And it's something tonight when I'm on with James, we will talk about that. So, you have to. I know he's talked about it, but like, let's get into the terms everybody can understand. Right? The terms that everybody can understand is this is, quote, their first road game. Well, that means they haven't had to face this before. Makes a big difference. And let's see. Let's get the scoreboard going here, too. I've got Iowa State. Arizona State's playing Michigan State. TCU has Purdue. Temple has Maryland. That game's at the Link. Bucknell's here on Saturday night for their home opener. Be fireworks after that game, too. See if Dave Cicchini's team can break through. I want to say it's 6 o'clock on Saturday night. Does that sound right?
That is correct, and we're going to be doing a special 3. Broadcast is going to start at 3, a special tailgate extended broadcast over on Eagle 107 before we turn things over to Doug and Kevin.
Is Kevin going to show up for that one?
Sure. I have no doubt.
He didn't show up for this show. The Mets lead Arizona 10-0, top of the sixth inning, Citi Field. Yankees first of a doubleheader lead at Detroit 4-2, top of the sixth. Milwaukee, bottom of the sixth, leads at Miami 3-2. Bottom of the fourth, the Royals lead at the White Sox 2-1. Cardinals have scored two in the top of the first. They've jumped out to a 2-0 lead on Colorado. San Diego and the Cubs at 3:40, 3:45, Pirates and Giants. Second game of the doubleheader, Yankees and Detroit, right after they're done with the first one. Braves and Phillies tonight. It'll be a 6:40 airtime and a 7:15 first pitch tonight. That game, by the way, is not only on WKOK, it's also on Fox tonight.
Yeah, they just moved that a couple days ago. That was a little last-second thing they did.
Fox. Yeah, it'll be on Fox tonight. And then, of course, college football. Oh, yeah, the NFL tonight. Was it Carolina, Tampa Bay? Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
It'll be better than the Monday night game, that's for sure.
Eesh.
Now that we hear that the Jets are going to be without probably both Sam Darnold and Le'Veon Bell. Lev did not practice today.
Your guy, Lev.
My guy? What are you talking about?
Yeah, he's your guy.
What? 2-6?
He's your guy. He's always been your guy.
What? You said that about AB.
That's your guy, too. All right, now here are the games tomorrow. North Carolina, Wake Forest, Kansas, Boston College. Washington State takes on Houston. It's going to be a doubleheader on ESPN. North Carolina, Wake at 6 tomorrow. Washington State, Houston at 9:15. Now, also tomorrow, though, Penn State and Stanford in women's volleyball in Rec Hall. Now, that's going to be wild. That is going to be wild. Saturday, Arkansas State's at Georgia. You're like, really? You're talking about that game? There's a reason I'm talking about that game. Blake Anderson is returning to the sideline for the first time as Arkansas State's head coach since he lost his wife, Wendy, to breast cancer in August. Georgia's doing a major initiative in the stadium about breast cancer awareness and also fundraising. But Blake Anderson will be on the sideline for the first time since his wife passed away a month ago. And when Arkansas State plays at Georgia, Ohio State plays its Big Ten opener at Indiana. Mentioned Maryland and Temple. Let's see. Kansas State's at Mississippi State. All right, some interest there. NC State's at West Virginia. Air Force is at Colorado. Alabama's at South Carolina. It's a SEC opener for those two teams. USC is at BYU. Mentioned Arizona State's at Michigan State. That's at 4 on Saturday. Colorado State's at Arkansas. Idaho's at Wyoming. Buffalo's at Liberty. Just want to get those two in. The night games include Florida at Kentucky. Let's see. Clemson's at Syracuse at 7:30. If you wonder why Chris Fowler's doing this game with Todd Blackledge and Sean McDonough's with Kirk Herbstreit, the reason is simple. Sean McDonough's a Syracuse grad, and he's being honored at Syracuse this weekend. So since he's being honored at Syracuse this weekend, they wanted to make sure he was on the game. And so Chris is coming here to work with Todd Blackledge. So that's the reason why that switch was made. Oklahoma's at UCLA. That'll be a route. Texas is at Rice. Let's see, the late game. Anything in the late game? Well, Texas, Arizona in the late game. That's not bad. Texas Tech at Arizona is not bad for a late game. So that will get that's the schedule coming up this weekend.
Well, it's great that Fowler is going to be coming back home to State College. Spent a good part of his childhood in Happy Valley.
Yeah, I want to say Chris was here 3-4 years.
Yeah,
when his father was a professor here before going on to Boulder. He's very fond of State College. It means a lot to him. He said that's really where he got. He'll tell everybody that's where he got his love for college football is because being around here and going to Penn State games, like, man, this is really cool. He loved it. you know, now you see what he's been able to accomplish. I'll tell you where Chris is really good now. Chris is a terrific tennis announcer. And you watch him at Australia, French Open, Wimbledon, U.S. Open. He's terrific.
And to his credit, busy over the Labor Day weekend, college football, called the primetime game with Herbie, and then boom, leaving on a jet plane back to the U.S. Open for the men's championship.
I'm going to guess private aircraft. We'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855. Or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you. Now, Bruce Bochy's done a lot of losing in his career, but he's had a great career. He took, what, the Padres of the World Series. He won three with the Giants. Yet you found an interesting stat about what he's done in his career.
So his career as a manager goes from 1996 to this year, 2019, as he'll be calling it a career managerial-wise with San Francisco and with Major League Baseball. And his win-loss record as a manager going into yesterday was 1,996 wins and 2,019 losses.
I can tell you right now, he's not going to catch the loss column with that team.
So he's just a whisker under 500.
And you know what? He is considered incredibly successful because he won three World Series. And he went to a fourth with San Diego.
Also, he was a great analyst, TV booth analyst. Before he went back into the dugout.
Yeah,
one bet. So,
there you go. Our high school football roundtable is coming up in the next half hour.
Boys are ready to go.
Greg Wetzel on Lewisburg. Zach Showers on Sealands Grove. And the only dependable guy in the Shikellamy broadcast, Dave Ritchie, will join us. The other guy doesn't think we're important enough. Yeah, you win one award against no competition and suddenly you think you're big.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It Chapter 2? Did I hear that right?
That's right.
How many unanswered questions were there from It Chapter 1?
Yeah, Kyle Alexander had a chance to see it earlier this week. He was shocked how long it was. It was like pushing 2 hours.
And what did he think of it?
That was a good one.
That was a good one. Saw what you did there. Yeah, it's quite scary. But I'll leave the rest up to Mike tomorrow morning. I don't want to steal his thunder.
So is this the third time in the last 4 weeks that the play-by-play voice of Shikellamy's had liquid lunch with somebody instead of being with us?
I don't know liquid lunch, but it could be power meetings, could be just getting stuff done the other end of the building. But hey, that means more chief time, and that's always great to me.
Or else he's bailing suit light out of something. I don't know. All right,
I just stopped in the room during the break as we were setting things up for the round table, and you could have sworn Shikellamy is playing Mount Carmel this Friday night. Chief was waxing poetic back in the day when he was going mano a mano with Carm DeFrancesco.
Wow, we'll probably skip that line of questioning. Okay,
this will make for a great after show, though. I will say that.
Yeah, sure. So let's start with Lewisburg. Look, the postmortems on last week are not going to be pretty this week on anybody, unfortunately. So, Greg, you got Milton coming up. It's the Tomato Bowl. Do they have T-shirts for this, or is there?
I have no clue.
Okay, Greg, do they?
Tomatoes, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, is there a trophy that looks like a tomato?
Well, there used to be a trophy, but since it used to be Lewisburg Warrior Run and Milton would always get together to play this game, but not any more than I'm aware of.
Okay, so so we're not sure about the trophy.
Right.
Because, I mean, essentially, to you and me, the only thing that's important is a green jacket.
That's true.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I set that up myself. All right. So last week, now, what just didn't work? Where are they missing out on not being in sync?
Third down. Defensively, Lewisburg let Mount Carmel off the hook on 7 plays of 3rd and 8 or longer. And one 4th and 12. They scored a touchdown on a 4th and 12, hitting a back out of the backfield. That right there was defensively the biggest letdown for the Green Dragons. On offense, they fumbled 3 times without contact. It was just missed exchanges in the backfield. One was inside their own 10, one was inside Mount Carmel's 15, and the other one was about the 40-45-yard line. So those were huge issues.
Yeah, it's interesting. In college football and in the pros, the way the game is played now, it's so wide open with spread offenses. To be honest with you, being on schedule is not as important anymore. Mm-hmm. But how about in high school football, Greg? How important is it being on schedule?
I think it's key to any high school team's success to be on schedule because, you know, Mount Carmel got out of their RPO offense and went into a power running game. And we would stop them on 1st and 2nd down, but then on 3rd down, we couldn't stop them. Or 3rd and short, we couldn't stop them. It just kept them on schedule the whole night. Where with Lewisburg, we didn't make those 3rd down plays. We had over 300 yards of offense in the game, but we didn't convert those big 3rd down plays that would keep drives going.
All right. When I would guess over the years, the Milton teams, I recall, are ones in recent years that have really put the ball up early and often. Is that still the same?
Well, they have a new quarterback. Phil Davis was their quarterback last year, and he was a 3-year starter. So they have a new quarterback this year, and they're running it about 2/3 of the time. So we look for them to probably run the ball more than they pass the ball, but they just haven't been able to get their offense going this year. They've only scored 14 points in 3 games, and so they're really struggling offensively, but maybe it'll change their game plan against Lewisburg this week. Who knows? But right now they run the ball 67% of the time.
All right. How important is it psychologically for Lewisburg to play with the lead in this game?
I think it's huge because this will probably be the biggest crowd of the year for Milton at home. And if they stay in the game and Lewisburg doesn't stay with their scheme and stay with what they do best and keep Milton hanging around, it's going to be tougher and tougher to beat this team. But I think if they play their game, go in there with not looking forward to next week, just focusing on Milton, they'll be okay. But if they let them stick around, it's a 1-score game going into the 3rd, 4th quarter, they're going to have a tough time beating them.
Yeah, this will be on 100.9 The Valley coming up. Okay, so what what's the story in your game this week?
I don't mean the
game's Friday night. What's the story in your game this week?
It was good today. 75 today, Steve.
Oh boy.
Oh, it was good.
Oh man, alive.
I had 2 birdie putts slip out. It could have been better.
Wow.
It was good. Hey, I'm going to be in State College tonight watching the women's soccer game, Lady Lions.
Yeah, Oklahoma State. Yep. Oklahoma State tonight.
One of my former
students.
7
o'clock at Jeffrey.
Yeah, one of my former students plays in the women's soccer team.
That's awesome.
Yep, Kelly Byler.
Oh, that's great.
Yep, so I'm going up to watch her play tonight.
Yeah, they got Oklahoma State tonight. They have Virginia at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Right, yep. So we'll be there.
That's terrific. Yep. My last outing, I went 15 holes, then it got dark. I was 65 through 15.
Not bad at all.
On the blue course.
That's good. That's really nice.
Not bad. I'd be way behind you.
No. You're right there. I had a good day today. Good day.
I did too. I had you on the air.
Thanks.
Right. So we got to set up some kind of Thanksgiving pay-per-view golf outing with you, too.
Oh, I'm for that.
Man.
The turkey
couple turkeys out there,
yeah.
Sure. Right.
Yeah.
Obviously at a southern location.
That would be even better. Come up with the money for that one, Sean. Come up with the money for
budget?
That one.
Well,
budget?
Well, just so you know, Greg, right? Dave Ritchie's in here today because we're sure the suit is out there garnering the money for such a trip as we speak.
There you go.
All right. He
looks at the bigger picture.
Yeah. Which to us means, Southern means you and I are going to Sealands Grove.
Exactly. Right. That's north for me. No, that's south.
I'm just pointing out for the station location. It's south.
Yeah.
All right. It's a Southern tournament. I got it all set up. Yeah, great. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Susquehanna Valley, here we come.
Just tell Greg the right time this time.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah, that'd be a key. With that, we bring in the outstanding color analyst with very broad shoulders, Dave Ritchie. The chief joins us. Dave, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. And, you know, we just weren't talking about Mount Carmel. Greg and I were talking about Lewisburg, Milton, and the West Branch teams from before. But Sean came in just as Carmi's story came around. So that's almost 50 years ago, okay? So, you know, the older you get, the better you were back then.
Yeah, boy, you ought to hear me talk about my early years in broadcasting. Whoa. It's something else. Dave, okay, so Schick comes into this one, and again, they didn't play well last week. Why not?
Well, I wouldn't go to say that they didn't play well because a lot of people don't realize that they had two touchdowns that weren't ruled as touchdowns. And that was both of them occurred when the score was 20-12, and that was in the third quarter, which would have put them right back in the ball game. And the other fact is that Loyal Sox scored both their touchdowns in the first 2 minutes of the game, and the Braves played very well after that. But it's the same old story, Steve. The fact that when you have third and 6 inches at the goal line and you jump off sides, that takes your chances of putting one into the end zone a little bit, makes it a little bit tougher, and that did hurt. But Loyal Sox is a good football team. They've got an excellent running back in Hill, and he's only a freshman. And it reminds me of Le'Veon Bell, the way he carries and runs with the ball. And the Braves, I think after... after a couple of disappointments, they might have lost a little bit of their snap in the fourth quarter.
Okay, so when you look at this team, where are they better through 3 weeks?
Well, I think defensively that they're playing strong up front. I saw a couple of the kids, some of our linebackers that are consistently making plays, and a defensive end. And to be honest with you, I think they made a mistake on the very first pass play against Loyal Sox, but after that, they contained Loyal Sox, which had a very good passer in Kavanaugh, and they had a young man by the name of Watkins that had, I believe, almost 500 yards in receiving in two games, and they did a nice job there. So I would say defensively that they're playing very well. The fact that they're again getting in the red zone and not scoring, that's the big problem. I mean, it's a shame because, you know, it's like playing between the 20s a lot of times. It's just tough on the coaches. They get frustrated, and one of these days it's going to change. It has to. It just has to.
All right. So
can I say one more thing?
Of course, you can.
Special teams, punt return, kickoff return, kickoff and punt, doing an excellent job. We have a young man that is just lights things up. Zaki Nettles had a 90-yard kickoff return with 2 minutes to go in the first half, and he also was the one that set up the next scoring drive with about a 50-yard return on the kickoff in the third quarter. They're doing a nice job on blocking on the returns, and this kid can fly, and he's you're not gonna arm tackle him. So I would say their special teams have done exceptionally well.
for those who are not completely in tune and initiated with the rivalry, what does this game mean?
Well, there are so many people that that either lived in the Sunbury, Northumberland area that now live in Selins Grove, or vice versa, that this is almost like to the closest communities. It borders on the old Shamokin Cole Township and the Northumberland Sunbury rivalries. Now it's just a little bit farther down the river. It's one of those games that many people that they might not come to another football game all year long, but they'll show up at Shikellamy Selins Grove because it's I don't know if you want to call it bragging rights, but it's always nice to beat your next door rival, and there's a lot of like after the game everybody's kind of friendly, but before the game it's a tough one.
All right, well, to win it, what do they have to do?
Well, I was looking at Selins Grove's offense and the teams that they've had to play so far. They beat Lewisburg, but then they had to play Jersey Shore at Jersey Shore and, of course, Southern Area. Do you know that Southern Area has more Division I football players on their team than Bloomsburg University does? I mean, that's just amazing, all right? But the thing is, they played two very tough teams, and their offense has the last two games has been non-existent. They're going to have to stop Schoen from running the ball. He had a great game against Lewisburg, but against Jersey Shore and against Southern, not so good. And Danny Schock, who once was in the Shikellamy system, outstanding quarterback as a freshman last year. This year, he just hasn't gotten on track, and the potential is just there for that kid. He's got a great arm and he makes good decisions. So they're gonna have to play, I'd say, probably their best defensive game to stop Selins Grove's running attack, countered with the ability for Schock to put the ball in the air.
Dave, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. You too. It's great to have he and Greg in studio. Now let's bring in Zach Showers. Zach, Southern Columbia does this to everybody, but is this the kind of game where do you worry about hangover after a game like that because they did zero?
Most weeks I would say yes. The fact that it's Shikellamy, I think this team will be up for the game. If not, there's some bigger problems on the season, to be honest. But, believe it or not, last week when you look at 76-0, you look and see that 76. Believe it or not, Selins Grove's defense for the first quarter and a half, considering the talent they were going up against, actually did not play too bad. They showed up. They were where they were supposed to be. They limited big plays from a Southern offense that throughout the year has just either thrown the ball over the place with Fleming. The Garcia brothers, you know, have been taking it in from wherever they touch the ball. So to be honest, last week's game was rough. They gave up a lot of points, especially in the second half. But overall, the team played pretty hard. And I think there's a lot of hope that maybe they can turn the corner this week against Shikellamy.
That said, I brought this up with Greg Wetzel, and I'll bring it up with you. I said, how important is it for Lewisburg to get to the lead? After what happened last week, how important is it actually for Selins Grove to be the first team to score and get to the lead?
Oh, I think it's huge. This is a team right now where after two tough losses like that, and especially the struggles that the offense has had, to get up would be big, and not have that pressure of things haven't been going well the past couple weeks and now we have to do things that we haven't been doing a lot of, and you know, either try to force plays that aren't there or force the passing game if it's not there. So it would be huge from a confidence perspective and just mentally knowing, okay, we've turned the page, it's a new week, and you know, let's go out and have a great rest of the game and great rest of the season.
All right, so how does it happen? What do they need to do?
I think everything right now starts with the offensive line. Selins Grove's offense has had two first downs combined the past 2 weeks, and both of them came in the fourth quarter of games. The offensive line has to communicate better. They have to work together well. They have to be where they're supposed to be. And that's really going to open up and everything else. The running game has been non-existent the past 2 weeks. The passing game, when they drop back, Danny Shock has been hit. So to be honest, the offensive line really has to get going. One thing with the offense, too, I know you hear it a lot in the college and NFL talking about explosive plays and, you know, staying on schedule is important, but also, you know, getting big plays. I mean, Penn State's offense is the perfect example of that. And right now, the last 2 weeks, Salins Grove has had zero explosive plays, running or passing. So it's been a lot of long fields. So they're going to need to make some explosive plays more than, you know, just putting long drives together. And then defensively, going up against Shikellamy's wing T, a lot of it's going to come down to what those three down linemen do in the 3-5 defense. I think if they can get penetration and force things outside, I think that Salins Grove's defense will stand up pretty good against Shikellamy. If Shikellamy's offensive line can dominate the line of scrimmage, you know, it could be a long night.
Zach, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Great to have you with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. So you've got on 100.9 the Valley. It'll be Lewisburg against Milton in the Tomato Bowl game. Then it'll be Shikellamy against Salins Grove. Eagle 107 will have Salins Grove. And it'll be News Radio 1070 WKOK with the Shikellamy broadcast. Back with more in a moment. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hey, come closer. Word has it Sunbury Motors is preparing for their biggest truck sale ever. Pick from Central PA's largest selection of new Ford trucks with savings up to $16,350 during Sunbury Motors' massive September truck and SUV sale. Over 45 2019 Ford Escapes starting at just $18,180. Four-wheel drive 2019 Ford EcoSports are slashed to as low as $17,320. SMC has up to $8,000 off 2019 Ford Edges and up to a whopping $13,000 off Ford Expeditions. All clearly marked with these huge discounts. Maybe you'd better pull over and write this down. The hot, all-new 2019 Ford Ranger has discounts up to $6,500, and Sunbury Motors has 2019 Ford F-150 Crew Cabs slashed to just $32,909. That's a lot of slashing. SMC is where you want to be right now for the largest truck and SUV sale in Sunbury Motors' 104-year history. Hurry while supplies last, but don't tell anyone.
We're going to shift gears back to college football. In the next half hour, Cam Meller from Pro Football Focus, and then we'll have Frank Bodandy, York Daily Record. Coming up on tomorrow's show, Paul Alexander will join us from Pittsburgh tomorrow. The King will be on with us as well. More picks.
You and the King tied for first. I'm three games back. Sinking.
Well, that's
quick.
Okay. The only reason we're tied for first is somebody picked the Giants.
That's true.
I'm sorry, I can't do it.
That was like me. You know, that's like me not taking the Patriots last week. I had to take a stand on that too, so I'd be two back.
Yeah, your team's not good. No,
there are some huge concerns, like just like what Neil Coulon said on the show earlier this week. And if you missed that, download our podcast, check that out. But yeah, then get a lockdown number two wideout and offensive line, maybe. Mm. Gotta shore things up there too for Ben.
Right.
Ugh. Bring on the Seahawks.
All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. Next half hour, Cam Meller, Pro Football Focus, and then Frank Bodandy, York Daily Record. A lot of Penn State Pitt talk in the next hour. Game is noon Saturday. We're on beginning at 10:30. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.